It's not easy teaching high school. If you want to know just how difficult it can be, consider Elizabeth Gold's experience. She was a poet who had taught writing to college students and young children when she accepted a position at a New York City public high school, taking over for a ninth grade English teacher who had left in the winter. It was in an immigrant, middle class, and working class neighborhood. Gold didn't get a chance to teach much literature. She was too busy trying to create order in her chaotic classroom. After hanging on for the remainder of the school year, Gold left high school teaching. She's written a new memoir about her experience called Brief Intervals of Horrible Sanity. That's a play on Edgar Allan Poe's line, "I became insane with long intervals of horrible sanity." Here's a brief reading from Gold's book.
"Be a general, the principal has told me. And so, in the spirit of Lee or Washington, or maybe Douglas MacArthur, I very kindly, yet firmly, ask Ricardo to stop drinking that soda. He takes a nice refreshing gulp, and this is boring, I think to myself. Here he is, being a teenager, challenging me. Couldn't he be less predictable and quote Latin instead? And now Ricardo Silva and I are having the last discussion in the world I want to be having about why he won't put away that soda. And both of us are getting more heated, and everyone in the class is taking bets. Will he or won't he stop drinking that soda? And the sound is bubbling up. It is time for me to take control. I grab the can out of his hand. Give me my soda! No. At the end of class. Give me my soda. No. At the end of class. Give me my soda. No. Give me my soda. No. Soda. 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 Give me my soda. No. Give this man his soda. No. You owe me money. You took my soda. Give me my soda. Give this man his soda. No. Give this man his soda. No. Give this man his soda. I will give this boy his soda at the end of class. Ooh, says the class. And now, of course, this boy has transformed me into the kind of adult I can't stand, the kind of adult who cares about soda. Not that there isn't this little voice inside me whispering, oh, come on, let him have his soda. Drink up, Ricardo, drink up. Work on those cavities, flaunt that manhood. But give in to that voice, and I'm lost. Our struggle is not about soda, anyway. It's about the semiotics of soda. That's what it is, and I know that's what it is. It's not the soda, but what the soda means."
That's Elizabeth Gold reading from her new book, Brief Intervals of Horrible Sanity, and it's about her teaching her short teaching experience. So you just read us one scene about what your typical day was like, the fight about the soda, which is really a fight about who's in control here. Is it the student or the teacher? What were some of the other typical things that you had to demonstrate your authority with? Or try, anyways?
Well, let me see. I mean, first of all, simply getting people to be quiet in the classroom, getting people to follow tasks, getting people to take tests, getting people to turn to the right page, getting people to write assignments, basically anything. I mean, basically, there would be a small group of students who wanted to follow me, and it soon became a political issue about whether you're going to listen to me or not. So basically, I couldn't get students to do almost anything.
When a more experienced teacher would walk in and take control of your class, what could they do that you either didn't know how or didn't want to do?
Well, there were times when teachers would come in and they would replace me. First of all, I think they were more known by the students. I was a sub. And these students knew these teachers. Frankly, they were men. They were big men. They had low voices. They were less emotional than I was. I think that's a big part of it also. And also, I just think there is something about somebody walking into a room that creates a primal, oh my God, there's Dad, there's the disciplinarian, there's the power giver. There's something about that act of somebody walking into the room and interrupting that creates this kind of instinctual terror in students and in people, I guess. So, and I just didn't have whatever it was. I just didn't have that. And I was a sub.
Since it was so hard to create enough order in the classroom to actually teach a class, when on some occasions you were able to have order in the classroom, did you have a lesson ready to teach?
Well, Not always. I mean, this is sometimes what happened is that you get so used to things not working out that the moments when things would become silent, I was often really surprised because also, in order to think realistically, you need quiet. So if the noise is bubbling up and then it becomes quiet for a minute, you kind of need about 5 minutes just to kind of collect your thoughts. And sometimes things would quiet down, and sometimes I did have a lesson that for some reason just kind of clicked. And I would almost have this feeling that I was racing against the clock, that if I didn't say incredibly interesting or challenging or just the right thing in just the right number of seconds, things would explode again. So every once in a while things clicked, but I never really knew why.
What's an example of something that clicked?
Here's an example of something where things were getting incredibly out of hand, and I began shrieking, "Heard melodies are sweet, but those unheard are sweeter." And for some weird reason, just hearing a line of John Keats just silenced the class. They'd never heard anything so wonderful. Someone said, "This is cool." And I had 5 minutes to talk about the concept of romantic poetry. And for about 5 minutes, I was able to do it. And then it just began roaring again. So we had a very, very small lesson in romantic poetry. So that's one.
Now, the high school that you were teaching in New York was a progressive school. It was part of
Yes.
the public school system, but it was part of an experiment within the public school system. What were the more experimental parts of the program?
Well, I mean, this was a school that was based on the idea. It was like a lot of these schools. There was a lot of parent input. It was considered a very democratic school. Everybody was called by their first names, you know, principals, teachers, students. There was a big stress put on actually by the principal. The principal had this big belief in this idea of that if you cared about the students enough, if you loved them enough, if you built up their self-esteem enough, that they would learn. There was also this idea of team teaching, that we're supposed to be team teaching. But to be quite frank with you, I didn't see any team teaching. There were also a lot of kind of peace counseling classes. And there was also a component where they went out into the community, which basically I think a lot of them did things like clerical work. But there was this component. So that were some of the components that I guess were considered more progressive or more experimental.
How did you like being called by your first name?
Actually, I hated it. I think that, first of all, the weird thing is when I talked to the children's parents, we called each other by our last names. So it would be Mr., Mrs., Miss. And I think that's because the truth is that sometimes what you really need is a little bit of distance, a little bit of formality, and just, you know, somebody does have to be boss. Quite frankly, somebody does. And I think a lot of the kids actually wanted to call me by my last name because despite everything, they really didn't feel, they didn't need me to be their friend. So for me, it doesn't create warmth and closeness. That's not what does it. And a little formality is not a bad thing.
Did you feel like this was the first time where people were going to decide whether to respect you or not based on a really different standard than you'd ever faced before? Because I think when you're a teacher in front of like a junior high or a high school class where it just goes with the territory that they're going to be challenging you verbally, physically. And if you're not used to that kind of physical challenge or that kind of like verbal challenge, and if you're a kind of introspective person, and not a kind of physical person, you can feel really lost.
Yeah, I did. And I think one is that when you become a teacher, especially in a situation like this, you suddenly you're like a stand-in for the adult world. You are an emblem, and a lot of the things which you are supposed to represent, you can't even recognize. I mean, part of my problem is I was supposed to lead these students to this magical future. And, you know, I was a sub. I was broke. I was, as I describe myself, a semi-published poet. And I didn't really know what my own future was going to be. And that's a very strange position to be this kind of this role model who had no inner life at all, no desires, nothing, just kind of a model of good behavior. That felt extremely alien to me.
Now, you taught high school, hated
right.
it.
Yes.
You taught college before teaching high school as an
yes.
adjunct. You're
yeah.
continuing to do that. You like that a lot. You've also taught like 8-year-olds in elementary
yeah.
school, taught them poetry. How'd you like that?
And oh, that's great.
What's great about it?
Well, one thing about teaching poetry to 8-year-olds is, you know, every 8-year-old is a genius. It kind of goes downhill from there. And you come in. You're not doing the disciplining. You are a treat.
You're the special poetry teacher?
You're the special poet. Yeah, you're sent in. You come in once a week. And kids, they love writing poetry. They love poetry. I mean, this is one of the awful things about sort of going through the system is you see kind of, you don't know where a lot of that natural imagination and creativity, where they go. And it was, I mean, it's not a, you know, you don't make a huge living at it, but it's really inspiring because you learn a lot about human creativity, and they write poems, and we enjoy it, and it's fun. And I would always try to read. We'd always do like just a little piece of like an adult poem, so they wouldn't be, you know, it would be like.